This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing, you better stop.
Okay. That's what he's got to do, go grassroots, go grass state.
That's right. I'm very disappointed in the president's tax proposal. When I interviewed him, he said it was going to be a historic tax cut and it was going to be Reagan-esque. And now I'm reading they're only dropping the tax top bracket from 39 to 36. That's nothing. And now I'm hearing like they might not even drop it at all. They might leave the top rate at 39. That's not a massive amount of tax relief. That's nothing. And that's not going to stimulate growth either. This is our money.
Stop.
We made the money.
Stop.
This is our money that we earned. It's not the government's
money.
You're
making me crazy.
Why should we give the government more money?
Are.
Poor Juan. Juan's just not sure how to respond to all this stuff. But I, you know, I don't blame you. I mean, if that's really the case that they're talking about leaving it the same, I mean, that's not tax reform. You know, that's all under a ruse. So there's got to be some misunderstanding here that's going on. If that is the case, he's got to bring, you know, he's got to really do tax reform. You know, for middle America, mainstream America, they're the ones that put him into office. The ordeal is that the government can do quite well, you know, by lowering taxes and it being Reagan-esque. I mean, Reagan was the one that demonstrated empirically that by making these kind of moves, it served the country well. But, you know, politicians being what they are, they just can't handle success. He laid out, I believe, I'm talking about Ronald Reagan, laid out a plan that should have, you know, it should have been the backbone of this country, you know, going forward. But it was a matter of time. And, you know, the politicians can't help themselves because they have to, you know, the best thing that they have to offer is, look, we're going to give you this stuff. Well, if, you know, and elect me. So that's their ante. The ante is the people's money. We're going to give you your money back. I'm going to give you all this, and all you got to do is elect me. Our founding fathers clearly stated that if we ever got caught in that kind of situation, it would be the beginning of the end. And so here we are. We've been stuck in that rut. And now we have, for the first time in my lifetime, certainly, a president who is not beholden to public interest and all these lobbyists to the degree that others have been. And he can make decisions and come up with plans and ideas and, you know, champion the cause on behalf of the people. Now, tax reform, we talked about tax reform for corporate America, getting it down. I believe you get it down as low as you can get it. I'm a 15% kind of guy. You get it down there, it will repatriate a lot of this offshore money. It's going to bring businesses back here to America. I think, you know, as we were talking with Bruce Thatcher earlier, that, again, is part of the reason why we need to make sure we have talented people that are here to take on these jobs that are going to be coming back to America, new jobs that will be created. You know, we've got some smart, very smart, I say, franchise players outside of the United States that if you gave them an opportunity to come here and, you know, this is like, you know, being a baseball player and the Yankees call up and say, hey, how would you like to play in pinstripes? I mean, we are, you know, to the rest of the world, pinstripes, Yankee Nation, to bring them here. And how many people would love to do that and have that opportunity, bring their skill set, you know, having the freedoms, having the canvas in which to paint on. You know, I often say that being able to express your giftings and talents is like an artist being able to have a canvas to paint on. One of the worst things you can do for an artist is take away their canvas. If you do, then they're going to find a wall, some mural, something because they can't help themselves. And it's the same way with any kind of giftedness, which we all have. It's got to be expressed. And if you give that opportunity for people to express their talents and giftings, you know, like here in America, and they're compensated, they get to enjoy the freedoms of this country, my goodness, what is that going to do to the skill set? And the kind of creativity that we could have here in this country. I think it could be quite explosive, and it's an opportune time for us to do this. But if we don't think about that, if we don't consider it, then we're going to miss out on that opportunity, and so are the people that are waiting to take advantage of it. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're coming on 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us.
What do you call charging thousands of dollars for hearing aids? I call it outrageous, because hearing should not be a privilege for the rich. It's a basic right everyone deserves. Hi, I'm Dr. Chira Curry, board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. If you or a loved one suffer from hearing loss but can't afford thousands for a hearing aid, I created MD Hearing Aid for you. A high-quality medical-grade hearing aid for a fraction of that price.
Try MD Hearing Aid at home, risk-free, for 45 days. Call 1-800-422-1271.
No costly doctor's visit. No expensive and time-consuming fittings or appointments. No ugly, old-fashioned hearing aid that costs thousands. MD Hearing Aid is an FDA-registered, audiologist-tested hearing aid that's discreet and lets you hear what you've been missing at a savings of more than 80% off the average price of a traditional hearing aid.
Try MD Hearing Aid risk-free for 45 days. Call 1-800-422-1271. Plus, you'll get free shipping and free batteries for a year. 1-800-422-1271.
Live.
Hey, it's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Got to be focused on, the objective at hand. Lots of good ideas out there, but with every idea, you got to test, does it add or does it take away? You know, we love the freedoms of America, but sometimes those freedoms can work against us a little bit. And, therein lies the opportunity for us to be disciplined and focused on what our objective is if we're going to get this country back on track. Welcome back. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, drop me an email. Love getting those cards, those letters, those emails, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now is Alexander Jukowicz. Alexander is the CEO of Group SJR. We're going to talk about marketing, public relations, messaging, because that is so important, and some of the things that are being missed out. And and it's interesting that we seem to be missing the point and misunderstanding what's going on in this information age. We're more the effect of it than we are the ones who are affecting. And I think what Alexander's got to share with us is, some good ideas to put us ahead of the pack and not be in the reactive position all the time. Alexander Jukowicz, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
All is well on this end. We want to talk about content marketing in the age of the educated consumer. Now, when some people hear content marketing, their head spins. So what exactly is content marketing?
I know. I think my head just spun when you said it, and it's the subtitle of my book.
Yes.
Content marketing, essentially, right now, probably doesn't mean much of anything. Let me sort of try to add to the conversation a bit, or sort of fill it out. Mm-hmm. It is one of data and content marketing are the two kind of buzzwords in marketing today. While they are buzzwords, there is something important about them. Content marketing, if you think about it, content is connective tissue. It's what builds the relationship between anybody who's trying to get an idea or sell something to another audience. It's the connective tissue and that relationship and mm-hmm. how that's served. Content ultimately is the way to fill the knowledge gap and the delight gap that we all have in our day-to-day lives. And that's really the opportunity. While marketing budgets aren't growing today, but they're being reallocated from traditional advertising and public relations into content and content marketing. Why? Because it's the most effective tool for today.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. I think, and it's amazing because there isn't a whole lot new under the sun, as they would say, Alexander. And it still comes down to the messaging. I mean, you know, we saw it in the recent presidential campaign that it was about the message. It was who connected and who didn't. Content marketing was definitely on display during the campaign, don't you think?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I will tell you that I believe that the best storyteller always wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever candidate is the best storyteller wins the race. But I will say that I think in politics, you don't see a lot of content marketing. Content marketing is about really filling the knowledge gap and having consumers or voters have more knowledge and more information. Politicians still today are in the practice of the dumbing down of communicating. It's about one idea. It doesn't get explained too well. Take the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Whether you're on the right or the left, nobody really understands it. Nobody's ever taken the time to get anybody to fully understand it. They either want you to be scared of one side of it or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place where content marketing is a place where the private sector or corporations and brands are actually way ahead of political communications.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians have to move into the content marketing era, but they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and again, I think depending on your worldview, like you say, if you're left or right, you're going to see it in different instances. Give us some examples of who is demonstrating effective content marketing by your definition.
By my definition, Red Bull. Take a look at Red Bull. It isn't just a sort of vaguely delicious, yellowish, carbonated drink. It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It is a whole way of living your life, of having an attitude, of physicality, of the way I carry myself and how I tackle the day. It's much larger than actually that drink. It has become a 360-degree brand. It really encompasses all things that those that sort of want to drink it or want to live that life can sort of follow that playbook. Totally different example, Netflix. It's the best content marketing available. Why? Because it serializes, it tells ongoing stories. We're in the ephemeral age of marketing where if we see something over and over again, we can tune it out. Netflix, they give us a series, 80% of us watch it all in 1 week because they're building on what you can see and what you can hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and I think that you still run into a little bit of the repetition builds reputation concept if it's a message and it fails and you're not on top of it and it starts declining in its interest and connectivity, as you said earlier, then that's time for the professionals to, to come up with a new message because it's still about the message, isn't it? You know, and how it communicates and connects with people and builds a relationship.
Repetition, and look, I was a practitioner of repetition, and in fact, I'm in Repetition Anonymous because I've come clean.
Yeah.
Repetition doesn't work in the world.
So it's been 3 days, 23 hours, and 42 minutes since your last repetition.
Oh, I'm joking
repetition.
To repeat myself. I'm joking to repeat myself, Bill. You know it. You know I want to, but
well,
I won't.
Yeah. Can you tell? I mean, I come from that world, or I wouldn't have known about it, right? So I know what you're dealing with.
No, I know exactly. You're a practitioner. Well, they told me not to hang out with any enablers or people that I'd had a pass with where I repeated things. Look, it's changed. You can't just be repetitive. You can't have this. We used to be all about disruption and have a moment where, as marketers or communicators, we got everybody to pay attention. That's very difficult to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
It's too expensive. There's too much noise out there. We've moved to a model from disruption to seamlessness. The new disruption is something that sort of goes into your life seamlessly, and it doesn't jar you. It is just becomes part of your sort of day-to-day content or intake diet without sort of trying to, like, knock you off your feet.
Well, isn't there still, to some degree, an element of intrusion? I mean, you and I probably have similar backgrounds, so if we sat down and talk about it, I mean, I can tell already where, you know, being involved in intrusionary media. But, like I said, as much as things have changed, how much really has changed? I mean, social media, of course, we want to look at it a little bit differently, but yet it's still a bit intrusive, isn't it?
Well, intrusive is as intrusive does. You're always going to have some aspect of it. I mean, intrusive has a lot of definitions, but the reality, I think, is that there, at least for any organization or any brand or any politician that's going to be around for a long time, they can't always say the same thing. They can't be intrusive
with
the same thing. That repetitiveness and that sort of intrusion, it's not welcome.
Right.
It's welcome when you're adding to my dialogue where I don't have to feel you like your strong presence, even though I get your knowledge. That's working.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to sort of pull off a consistent intrusion model. You can do it every so often, but it's very difficult to pull off.
But we're still trying to develop at the end of the day, aren't we? Trying to brand ourselves in the minds of our potential consumers and constituents. But anyway, I'm going to let you answer that on the other side of the break, because we got to go to break right now. Alexander Jeckowitz is with us.
Any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Soul Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. fullycookedbacon.com.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
They would also exist here is, you know, a host of experts, people that, you know, have the facts jack, because we got a lot of opinion out there. And as they say, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. But we do our best to bring you experts that know what they're talking about. So we get it out of the realm of theoretical. OK, and we're laying it out to you. And of course, today we're fortunate to have Alexander Jefkowitz with us. Alexander is the CEO of Group SJR. And before we pick up from our last question, Alexander, tell us about Group SJR. SJR, what are you guys about?
Group SJR is is a consultancy, an innovation consultancy that I co-founded 11 years ago to sort of address what I thought were the flaws in marketing and communications, mm-hmm. namely that in a world where we were dumbing down, I wanted to smarten up. So in today's parlance, it's now referred to as a content marketing and content strategy agency. 9 years ago, it didn't have a name, but the success of the approach and the offering has allowed us to grow exponentially, and I was able to sell the organization to WPP, the largest holding group of these types of companies.
Mm-hmm. And as you started to see this, you know, when you started your company, you saw a void in the marketplace. You had some marketing experience before, as we talked about. You were, you know, the typical repetition type of marketer. You said, no, there's got to be a better way. And you saw what was going on with marketing, the messaging out there. And, of course, this is all as social media and the information age is exploding. So it was really ripe for a new idea, wasn't it?
It was. And I didn't, you know, look, it wasn't a light bulb that went on. It happened over the course of a year that I kind of went on this journey and pivoted from being what I thought was good at what I did, but being traditional, to being seen as innovative and disruptive and a little bit of an outsider insider. Mm-hmm. And that's a journey that wasn't sort of apparent that I was going on. It's just that I kept sort of challenging and seeing what was happening in the marketplace. And in my world and in everyone's world, there was a disintermediation of the media. There were lots of journalists who were losing their jobs. So I thought that maybe instead of having to follow media companies, maybe in fact, every company should be a media company, and they shouldn't just be an okay media company. They should be a great media company, and that's really where SJR has leaned into, and then subsequently we're part of Hill & Knowlton, which is one of the large PR firms in the world, well, one of the largest in the world, in fact. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of journalists, you know, they seem to have lost their way a bit. And that's being evidenced in, you know, a fall of subscription rates, people reading their product. And maybe a lot that has to do with this is this content marketing that we've been talking about. But at the very basis of content marketing is veracity, is honesty, is integrity, isn't it?
It has to be, because then the content marketing is the anti-spin zone. It's the place where authenticity meets the interest of a brand or a politician and the client that it's serving, whether it's the voter or the consumer. It is about veracity. It is about authenticity. If not, there's going to be just too much blowback, too much pushback. And in fact, there's too many editors out there in the world. Everybody's an editor now.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
They can call you when things are off. So I think it actually has raised journalism to a higher standard overall.
I think potentially it has. I think it's yet to be there. Maybe you're seeing something there in New York. You know,
I'm a glass half full guy, Bill.
I got to tell you, I am too.
You're raining on me.
No rain at all. It's more of an encouragement because we have been saying on this show, Alexander, we need the media to get their act together and to raise the bar. Get caught. I know the temptation is such that, some of these journalists, they would like to have some notoriety and all that kind of deal. Well, if they do, then I think they need to, you know, cast their shadow in a different direction. But if you're a journalist, then, you know, do what you're supposed to do, because we need you to do your job. And that is, you know, like newspapers and that, their number one job, in my humble opinion, is to document history. We want to make sure that we're getting the record straight. But when it's so hyperbolic as it's become, especially in the political environment, government. You know, I think we're opening ourselves to some problems down the road. I keep thinking the next generation or maybe a couple generations away are going to look around and go, what were these people thinking? I mean, we're a bit of a basket case right now, and I'm saying that through a half glass full lens. I want you to know that. Even though it may sound a bit, you know, a bit the opposite, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
People like you. Uh-huh. Well, I'm hopeful too. I mean, I was at the USC Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism last mm-hmm. week. Uh-huh. They have a new dean there, Willow Bay, and look, they're addressing the concerns of today and tomorrow, and right. That's a transformed place, and the young people that are being educated there and moving into the world of journalism and communications are really going to be, I think, really well prepared. So there are places where these ideas are being pushed and incubated in a very dynamic way, and I hope that in my own organization we challenge ourselves. And, you know, last but not least, I mean, whether you're on the right or the left, one of the good byproducts of Donald Trump as president is that it's really challenged the world of journalism. And I think that a lot of people are stepping up and they've really created a lot more energy. And it doesn't hurt to have Jeff Bezos backing the Washington Post to drive that as well. But the reality is that storytelling is always treated as a kind of flimsy or soft science. And now I think that it's being seen for the powerful tool that it is and the necessary tool for anybody to succeed. Politician, person walking on the street, corporation, brand, it doesn't matter. Everybody's got to be a good storyteller, if not a great one. And if they're not, they're going to be suffering.
Yes, and this brings us back to the title of your book, The Strategic Storyteller, Content Marketing in the Age of the Educated Consumer. And that's what the storytellers need to understand, is that they may have thought the consumer was dumbed down, but today, with the power of information at their fingertips, you can only get away with so much for a shorter period of time.
Couldn't agree more. And look, for those that aren't willing to engage in this type of thinking, they're all counting down. I'm not saying that it's over. I'm not here to say that advertising's dead. I'm not here to say that political communication is dead. But I can see where all of it is changing and shifting, and it's not going to be the same. And it isn't even the same today.
Exactly.
Those that want to have outsized results, leverage the new ways.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, before the break, about 8 minutes ago, I said if we would talk about this first, but such is the conversation, the way it's flowing between you and I, Alexander. What about branding? Where does branding come into all this?
Branding, and you know, before the break, you brought up the idea that branding is about repetition, and I agree with you. At the top of the house, you have to have a strong brand that stands for something. One of the concepts that I like to think about, though, is how do you, on a recurring basis, engage with the brand? Well, there's got to be more breadth and depth to it than just the name, the logo, and one or two messages or a tagline. You have to build that out into a narrative architecture, a content architecture that has a daily or regular editorial voice, that it has a way of laddering up to, that's consistent and allows you to tell the full story. Content marketing, what I'm talking about in any aspect of life, is tell the whole story. And when you do, good things happen.
Yeah, because in telling the whole story, as you say, certain aspects of your story is going to attract a certain group. I mean, we are a bifurcated society with interests appropriately. And, you know, if your story, the part of your story that you're communicating on that day may appeal to my group, where tomorrow it may not, right?
That's right. And also, all great storytelling is not about everybody having engagement with it. It does self-select to some extent, and that's okay too. Storytelling isn't about pleasing everybody. It is about three elements: wonder, which is the spectacle of it; wisdom, which is the knowledge; and delight, the fun. If you have that combination, then you can really appeal to folks.
Very well said. Very well said. I like that. The Strategic Storyteller, Content Marketing in the Age of Educated Consumer, Alexander Jetkiewicz. Book is available at all the usual places, I take it?
I think so, and perhaps some unusual ones. I'm not sure.
Well, and we will link it on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Alexander, good stuff. I really appreciate the time. Appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great
day. You take care. Have a great one. All right, bye.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hooray for Hollywood, that phony super coney Hollywood. They come from Chillicothe and Paducah with their bazookas to get their names up in lights. Hooray for Hollywood.
This is Bill Martinez Live.
It's the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Ed Connor joins us, New York Times bestselling author, American Enterprise Institute visiting scholar, and former partner with Bain Capital. Always good to have Ed joining us, and we're going to take advantage of his brilliance and insight. Ed, you got some splaining to do. Maybe you can help us understand, you know, the unraveling of our country right before our eyes here, huh?
Well, one of the things I argue in my recent Wall Street Journal op-ed is that if you look forward into the future, as baby boomers retire, the Congressional Budget Office expects spending to increase 8 to 9% of GDP. That drives spending over 40 to 45% of GDP, which takes growth-crushing tax increases to pay for. And so, in that op-ed, I try to find a solution to the problem which avoids taxes, and that is increasing high-skilled immigration along the lines that President Trump was suggesting.
Exactly. Well, there's lots of gold in them, thar hills. We just have to kind of get out of the partisanship. And this is what I appreciate, what you bring, you know, to the conversation here, Ed, is, you know, some sobriety, because there's lots of passions, coming at us right now. And a lot, I would say, from the lunatic fringe, you know, and on both sides, the extreme left and right of the bell curve, as you know. And, Main Street America is going, hey, look at, I just want to get back to work.
Well, I think that's right. And I think people have looked very short term at the issue because, I do think that immigration potentially does put pressure on wages. So people are against having any pressure put on their wages. But I think they look only at that and they don't look to the long term, which is how are we going to feed these baby boomers? And we have to do more than just feed them. Okay, we have to be able to defend ourselves against the Chinese and other economic rivals 30 years from now after we've gotten done paying for all these baby boomers. You know, the Chinese economy is going to be bigger than ours in about 10 to 15 years if the projections come true. So we have to be in a position at that time to grow fast enough so that we're still going to be able to rival them in the world economy. And if we jack up taxes and increase spending, which it's unlikely we're going to get out of paying for all the baby boomers who retire. I'm not suggesting that we should either. I'm looking for a solution for how we pay for them and not put ourselves in jeopardy strategically, defensive. Yeah.
Well, you know, what people need to be careful of, and I think this is, some of the most sober pundits are considering here, like yourself, Ed, is that, you know, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, there's this nationalistic movement which the media would try to, color as far as, the perspective and the worldview of the Donald Trump administration. But I don't hear him. I hear him saying, you know, that we're still looking at skills-based immigration. I mean, the immigration system right now is broken because of particularly what happened in the last two previous administrations, that they decided to basically break the law. And if you break the law, it's like, okay, well, what are you going to fix it with? Well, we're just going to leave it hanging and broken. Well, no wonder it's a mess. So, and I think job one for this administration and Jeff Sessions has been, hey, look, we're going to bring the law back into play. That's a good start. And then we can start looking at immigration that is effective and it works and answers the future needs of this country, as you point out.
Yeah, we issue about 1 million green cards a year currently. Mm-hmm. The current proposal is to reduce that to probably 500,000. But, we have about 120 million full-time workers in the country. So the top 5% of those workers is about 6 million workers. We're issuing 1 million green cards a year. We could double the number of top 5% talent in fairly short order. And in today's economy, what's really driving growth is innovation and technological innovation, and that requires some of the highest levels of technological skill to be able to manufacture it. The U.S. has been way out in front of the rest of the world in doing it. We've gotten very little help from anybody else, any of the other high-wage economies. And if we double the number of people in the top 5%, we could potentially double our growth rate. We have no other alternative for increasing our growth that much. Tax reform would help, but it helps a little. It doesn't help a lot. And we simply can't get there through organic growth alone. And if you look at these top performers in our tax code, in the top 20% of taxpayers are paying about $50,000 a year more in taxes than they're consuming in government services. At the middle of the wage scale, the median wage is paying about as much in taxes as they're consuming in government services. So if you want to get more tax revenue to pay for retiring baby boomers and still have enough money left over to fund defense, you need high-end taxpayers who are going to pay a lot more in taxes than are going to consume in government services to get there. So my strategy is let's go out to the rest of the world and do it. I'd like to think that we could do it with education, and we should make every effort we can to improve the quality of education in the country, and we can do that simultaneously with this strategy. But if we wait for education to do it, if it can do it at all, it could take 20, 30, 40 years before that fully suffuses into the workforce.
I agree, and I think there needs to be a sense of urgency on this, and I appreciate you bringing this perspective, because this is something that's not been articulated and maybe blocked out, that we do need this skilled-based immigration resource, you know, to maximize this opportunity. It's like having a professional ball team. Why would you not want to have a franchise player on your team? And we've got to look at those franchise players throughout the marketplace in America and outside, but particularly when you're talking about immigration outside of the country that can come in and make an immediate difference, right?
Yeah, well, two things. One is we're already hiring those guys. I mean, mm-hmm. if you go to Silicon Valley, they're all Skyped in on the telephone. They happen to be sitting in Romania, right? But they're working on over the telephone, over Skype, doing all the work anyways. And when that happens, we don't get their tax revenue. Romania gets their tax revenue. And our workforce doesn't get to educate their children, tend to their medical needs, wait on their tables. So we don't get the demand that it puts on labor, on jobs and on wages that we would get from having those people here instead of having them calling in on the phone. And if you look at the supply of those people, there's about 7 billion non-Americans. 5% would be 350 million. Half mm-hmm. of them, we don't know who they are. Half right. of them are too young and too old. Half of them will probably never move. But you get down to a pool of about 40 million people who represent this talent pool of franchise players, of which another 5 million would potentially double our growth rate. So it's a very achievable goal. And we're issuing a million green cards a year. So if we went out and said, well, let's issue a million franchise players,
yes.
By the way, if we issue those to 25-year-olds, they don't have families, they don't have children, they don't have wives, we can get one ultra-high-skill worker per every green card that we issue, instead of having to issue five to get one, you know, four or five to get one full-time worker. So there's a real opportunity there, and it's a real the math adds up so that that strategy would work.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, if we're already paying the money out, I mean, but we're just not taking – we're not getting the full benefit of the investment that's going out when we're dealing with people, like you say, through Skype and these other technological channels that are available today. And this is a bit of a warning, isn't it, if we continue on with this kind of this kind of process, Ed?
Well, I think we get some benefits in the short run by closing down immigration, but we have great problems in the long run if we try to go there.
Well, therein lies the dynamic tension here, and can government, because they're the ones that are going to manage this, can they step up and manage this in such a way to where, you know, our national security is in place, and that, as you've written about before, the unintended consequences, you know, that we can minimize some of those?
Be nice to think they can. So far, they haven't been able to do it. You know, the Democrats, they want to link this to low-skilled immigration. I don't think our president's willing to do that. I think you've got guys on the right who are very worried about culture and nationalism.
Exactly. You know, Ed, we got to hit the pause button because we got to go to break. More from Ed Conard after this.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
It's a hand-in-hand kind of proposition, ladies and gentlemen. You want freedom? Well, you got to step up and live up to the responsibility of it all. And the ball is in our court because this is a government of, for, and by we, the people. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation with Ed Conard continues. New York Times bestselling author, American Enterprise Institute visiting scholar, and the former partner with Bain Capital, as we were talking about his latest op-ed piece, America's Got Talent, but Not Nearly Enough. Putting into perspective that it might be a little bit of the correct observation, wrong conclusion from the president in regard to cutting back the number of green cards. Sounds good on the surface, but in practicality, why would you not want, as we use the illustration of a professional baseball team, if I could draft a lot of number four hitters into the lineup, well, why would I not do that?
Yeah, if you make immigration skill-based, then I don't think there's any reason to cut the number from 500,000 to 1,000,000. I think part of the reason why he's doing that is he doesn't want to put pressure on low-skill wages by increasing the supply of low-skilled labor, which is where immigration has been. Now, he has set standards for skill levels, but he sets the standards so high that it's almost impossible for anybody in the world to jump over those standards. If he lowered those standards a little bit, I mean, I think he's up in the top 1 or 2% by the time you get through his scoring system. If he lowered that to the top 5%, I think you get a very rich pool of talent that you can draw on to try to increase the growth rate of the economy. I suggested hiring or trying to recruit engineers and science and technology majors, because if you look at the highest scoring Americans, they have moved towards business, they've moved towards the law, they've moved towards commerce. What you've seen from the success of the United States is a combination of business and technology really produces higher growth and faster productivity. If you look at Japan, where they produce many more engineers than we do, they haven't gotten the productivity growth. Europe produces a disproportionate number of engineers relative to business majors. So the rest of the world is trying to catch up on business, but they're all pumping out a surplus of engineers. Mm-hmm. We have a shortage of engineers, particularly software programmers. We're probably about a third of the programmers that we need in terms of graduation rates. We have to retrain a lot of people to be programmers who haven't graduated to do it. And we hire a lot of people, as I said, through Skype over the phone mm-hmm. around the rest of the world to program rather than bringing those people here. So there's a very rich, talented talent pool out there for us to draw on.
Well, the thing is, I'm looking at here, Ed, maybe you as well, is that if we don't do it, China's going to sit there and say, thank you very much for the, we'll make the opportunity available. Because what it comes down to, and as I was discussing this here recently with a small business owner, it's about opportunity. I mean, she was all excited because, she's got these, this new breed of millennials that are coming in, and she's afforded them, what I call a canvas to paint on, to exercise their talents and their giftings. And these kids are thriving, and her business is thriving. And I love to see that because when people are exercising their gifts and talents, I don't think it gets better than that.
Yes, and I do think it's certainly the case that China will Skype those engineers in as fast as their industry grows and it needs them. The interesting thing about the United States is our institutions, the opportunity to get on-the-job training at a company like Google or Facebook or to work in a community of experts like Silicon Valley, those really increase the productivity of our workforce relative to the rest of the world. And it has large spillover effects to the rest of our economy, where we just have more computer programmers, better trained computer programmers, and people like that, business people, startup experts, the finance that goes around it. That magnifies the productivity of our most productive workers. So when we bring talented workers from the rest of the world and put them into our productivity-enhancing institutions, they get way more productive than they would be anywhere else in the world. And as they subsequently earn a lot more money than anywhere else in the world.
That's right.
And so you look at those talented people, and they're in Europe, wherever, in the Far East, all over the world. By coming to the United States, they get way, way more productive. They get way more innovative. The returns for risk-taking are higher. They get more entrepreneurial. If you look at billion-dollar startups in Silicon Valley, they're predominantly started by immigrants. If you look at CEOs in Silicon Valley, very large percentage of them are immigrants. If you look at the computer programmers and other technicians, like almost 75% of them are immigrants. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the world gets way more productive. Everybody gets way more productive when they come here.
All boats are rising here. What about assimilation, Ed? I got to imagine if you're here in the United States and you're productive, you're being blessed, your family is being taken care of, it's a little bit easier to assimilate, isn't it?
Right, sure. And anybody who makes the effort to come all the way here is certainly going to be a lot more eager to assimilate as well. I do think if you get people on the far right who have very nationalistic concerns and concerns about the culture, you could always put demographic controls on immigration and just say, look, we're not going to change the mix of the people that we have here. We're simply going to enhance the quality of the talent, because we can go anywhere in the world and find ultra-talented people to bring.
Well, what I'm still witnessing, Ed, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but what I'm witnessing, and this is more anecdotal, so certainly, we're in the realm of the opinion here, is that America is still very neighborly. I mean, in the neighborhoods that I go through, you get the whole gamut. I mean, I was at a church here recently, and the pastor asked people, of the cultures and backgrounds and that sort of thing. We found that just at that service of there was about 1,200 people in the sanctuary there. There was 172 cultures represented in the sanctuary.
Wow.
And, which is quite amazing. And, people weren't throwing spitballs. We didn't see Bibles flying across the aisles because somebody was from another country. you know, all getting along and, you know, sharing the things that they have in common and sharing the things that they didn't have in common, like foods and all those good things, which are great to share. So I still find the neighborhoods of America still very friendly and amenable as long as you're demonstrating that, you know, you're for the greater good. You know, it's that old Western movie type of thing that we grew up when we were kids. You know, they always asked him at the city limits, are you friend or foe? You know, they want to make sure if they were wearing a white hat or a black hat, right?
I definitely think that's true, and I think that growth, there's a great book written by the head of the economics department at Harvard a long time ago about how growth increases morality. People get a lot more neighborly in a growthful environment than they do in an environment that where it's either slow growing or worse, even declining. So to the extent that you accelerate the growth, I think you make the community even more neighborly than it otherwise would be inclined to be, which is pretty neighborly regardless. The second thing I think it does is, you know, one of the things that the low-skill workers depend on high-skill workers to design products that are competitive, that put them to work, and processes that make those products and those services competitive, and to supervise low-skill labor to make it more productive in the workplace. And all that productivity increases the wages of lower-skilled labor. So to the extent that you increase the pool of high-skilled labor, the ratio of high-skilled to low-skilled labor is partially responsible, probably largely responsible, for the productivity of low-skilled workers. So you drive up the productivity and drive up the wages and drive up the competitiveness of that sector of the workforce, and it would benefit as much, if not more, from this than the high-skilled sector, where you would be increasing the amount of competition for high-skilled labor, you know, by adding to the supply of it. But if you look over time, you know, the highest-skilled workers, their incomes have grown faster than the economy, while the lowest-skilled workers, their incomes have grown slower than the economy on average. So you should be looking for ways to increase the wage levels of the lower-skilled workers.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope people are understanding and connecting the linkage here that we're demonstrating. Again, using the baseball analogy, you know, when all of a sudden you had these baseball players, these franchise players coming on the scene here and making these mega millions of dollars, it's like one ball player who was, just an everyday player, not making the big bucks like a franchise player, said, hey, he loves it because this opens up the window, right?
Yeah,
I mean, this makes for the pathway, right? Go ahead.
And unlike, I mean, in sports is a very good analogy, but unlike sports where it's a little bit of a zero-sum game, one person wins and one person loses, in the economy, when the pie grows bigger, virtually everybody can be a winner in that in that environment. So when you bring in a franchise player who goes out and creates an iPhone, that makes the world, that makes life better for everybody at all levels of skill.
Well, Ed, I appreciate it. Great job on the op-ed here, and I'm glad that we could have you on to shed some light on this and to offer some balance, because this is the challenge that you know, politics has brought into our perspective here, is that we got to be careful not to think in terms of mine, like the dodo birds in Finding Nemo, that we need to really look at the consequences, unintended and intended, and the linkage that's involved here by implementing an effective skills-based immigration program.
No, I think it's critical when you look forward into the future, and maybe people won't be ready for it this year, but as the years roll by, they're going to recognize this is the only solution to America's future.
Well, if we're going to do what Donald Trump has said on a campaign trail, he continues to sing out his mantra that America will win again, well, then we need to open up the doors of opportunity to make that happen, don't we?
Sure. Nothing like a few franchise hitters to win.
Amen. Let's bring the franchise players in. You got it. I'm with you. Ed Conard. I'm Bill Martinez live. Ed is a New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, and former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, thank you again. Appreciate the perspective.
Bill, thank you.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just up the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, and real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
You want to save money and